There's a lady taking a poop.
Do you guys drink kombucha?
Do you prefer length or girth?
You can't stretch length. Your dick.
Hello and welcome. We are back from theballerlifestyle.com. It is the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. My name is Brian Beckner. Thanks for joining the show. Thank you for being a part of the crew here. We love you. This is episode 187 of the podcast. We've done a lot of these. We do them every week. We're stoked that you are here being part of our world. And we would like it if you would share our world with your world and tell your friends about our show. Tell them to listen to the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. Get involved in what we do here every week. Grow the community. Joining me now, as always, of course, let your friends want to know about this guy too. It's our very own Ed Daly. Ed, how are you?
I'm doing well. I watched the Golovkin-Canelo fight this weekend, and it was money well spent. Was that, you know?
Oh, was it good?
Yeah, I mean, boxing can't get out of their own way with all the
fights. It's a bad outcome.
Yeah.
Like, everybody agrees that Golovkin, Triple G, won easily, it was a draw.
In my head, I had it, like, was it 115, 113? I had it close, like, Golovkin, like, clearly won. I gave one of those toss-up rounds. But, like, overall, it was way more entertaining. I didn't watch the entire Mayweather fight, but I watched enough on YouTube to know it was not entertaining. And people,
agree,
for some reason, wanted it to be, you know, what, like, in retrospect, they're like, oh, yeah, that was a great fight. Like, no, it was not good.
No, from what I didn't watch this weekend's, but I watched the Mayweather, like, through the Twitter people's Periscope, where they hold up their phones.
Right.
I watched a little bit of that, and it looked pretty boring to me. Like, it was not, didn't look very exciting. But I didn't, you know, I wasn't invited to anybody's house, and I wasn't going to shell out the $100, so I missed this.
Yeah, and it was also like $30 cheaper too, this fight.
Oh, it was?
But yeah, I went to my buddies and we just split it.
Oh, nice. Nice. Fantastic. Anything else?
Nope.
Let's just jump right in. Here's what I do. Throughout the week, sometimes I make notes in my phone about things to talk about.
Yeah.
But sometimes I go, oh, I don't need to make a note because I'll remember that.
Yeah, I do that too. And I don't remember.
And guess what? You don't remember that. You never do.
I don't remember anything. I use like the reminders all the time. Like, tomorrow I got to do this. But then, you know, Siri gets it all fucked up and it'll, you know, I need to call a certain company and then it'll just say like, call nails and shoes. And I don't know what that means.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to really check that because it does not get really anything that you say. Our very own Fancy Sauce has hers set to like an Australian version.
Oh yeah. Is it a man or a woman?
It's a woman. And so she speaks Australian and then, but supposedly it's like going to catch your Australian accent better,
right?
But it doesn't, it doesn't catch anything. Okay. You ready to do some email?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's see, what do we have here? Who's reached out this week? Hey, B and E. Just saw a commercial for the upcoming Fallout Boy concert at the Forum, Great Western Forum, and Jaden Smith is the opening band. Which is more disappointing, these two bands performing on the same night or AC Green never performing at the Forum? That's from Francis in Glendale, who adds to his signature, medium well guy. No one's a medium well guy. Just
medium
cook a
rare.
Shoe.
No, you misread it. It's medium rare, right?
He must have meant, you know what it is? Autocorrect. Octocorrect.
Right, medium rare.
He started typing rare, and it switched it to well. He mistyped or something, because no one medium
You don't
well.
Even joke about that. You don't even joke about that.
No, it's not. It's not even funny.
It's not a thing.
I didn't know Jaden Smith was a thing. I thought like he did like a he had like a kitschy like a song or something back in the day.
Yeah, but like I thought he was I feel like a, everybody like, gets like a pop song, but I didn't realize he was a touring
like right
artist. But you know, bringing up AC Green, it really deserves its own documentary. Because like Jerry West was having orgies like in the forum. Right. Right? Yeah. Didn't he have like a whole like setup?
Magic Johnson was known to bring, he would immediately leave the court and before everyone else was in the shower, he would already be in the sauna with six chicks in the locker room. Like that's how they rolled back then.
And what was the point of AC's Jerry Curl if it wasn't to attract women or men? Like what would be the point? Why would you wear that in your hair? And I mean, anytime I like sweat or work out with like sunscreen on, it drips into your eyes. Like he was suffering for that hairdo. There's no way that Jerry Curl wouldn't drip into his eyes.
It was an interesting look back then that guys would be like, yeah, they would be like, you know what? I want my hair to be wet.
Yeah, all the time.
All the time. Like I never know if I want it not to be wet. Yeah.
Yes. Right. There were about like
Eric
five.
Dickerson.
Yeah, Eric Dickerson. There were like five guys that rocked that look. Gary Carter.
Oh, yeah. Yes. R.I.P. But you're right. You figure like the 1980s Lakers, and I know like your whole thing is like, hey, I don't fuck. Like, look at me. I'm AC Green. I went to Oregon State, but guess what? I don't fuck. And I play power forward and I'll rebound,
but I will not fuck.
Yeah. But you figure you would. There was so much pussy around back then that you would accidentally fuck. Like once in a while, like you would fall into some pussy by accident.
But you wouldn't be cultivating a look. Like if you're not interested in sex, what would be the point of all that?
That's a lot of work.
A lot of work for nothing.
Yeah. It's like you don't like guys musk up. Back then, they'd throw on a blazer with the sleeves rolled up and a t-shirt underneath. Sure. Maybe some.
Even Kurt Rambis pulled that move.
Yes. Like maybe some loafers with no socks and some tight pants. Like some, you'd be going out, you'd be cultivating a look, you'd throw on some Dracar. Like, and all the whole point is that you were trying to get laid. And so if you're AC Green, you're spending all that time on your hair. But you're actively not trying to get laid?
If you're not trying to get laid, you're not even showering.
What's the point?
What's the point? This guy's going full soul glow.
Yeah, yeah. It's a really, really interesting point. Okay, there's another one. Guys and fancy, after listening to the latest podcast, hashtag current episode, hashtag every episode, hashtag Friday Facts, I had to comment on the issue of chiropractors wanting to be called doctors. This came up last week via an email.
I feel like I screwed this one up because I took it as a chance to rail against quacks like Dr. Phil. Right. And I was just saying like they're more doctors than Dr. Phil, but I hope and nobody thought I was saying they're actual doctors.
No, I don't think anybody would be confused. No one thinks that a chiropractor is a doctor, right? I mean, that's not.
No, they're backpackers. Except in my case, they're not.
Right, exactly. Except when you want them to be. It's all bullshit. Four of my friends who all flunked out of college when we were going there together are now all chiropractors and expect me to call them doctor. I consistently tell them to go fuck themselves. One unfortunate thing. The bastards make hideous amounts of money. Also, as a Canadian living in Houston since 2004, I noticed on a previous podcast that you missed a key American-Canadian word mix-up. Mm. What an American calls a stripper, a Canadian calls a healer. Just wanted to set you straight on that key piece of information. That regards Doug, the Canadian.
I kind of like
Houston.
The peeler.
That is amazing. Yeah, peeler's pretty.
Like Anthony Peeler.
Gord. Hey, Gore, let's go check out the Peelers tonight, eh? Let's have a couple of Labatts and go. Let's take a couple loonies and a couple toonies and throw them at the Peelers.
Hey, take off the toque. We're watching Peelers.
Hey,
show some respect.
Remove your bunny hug, eh? I like that after we did the Canadian nomenclature discussion on the show, that on Twitter, dudes were hitting us up. They're like, it's not called mac and cheese. It's called Kraft fucking dinner.
Yeah,
and yeah, they're called bunny hugs. Yes.
It's crazy. We got pictures. It's crazy. Amazing.
It's just, Ed, it's right there. It's just right above us.
Yeah. I mean, it feels like just like, you know, New England or wherever. Like, it just feels like a little bit part of our country, just a little bit north.
Yeah, it's just like us with more flannel. Like, they have this, they drive the same
car. Vancouver and Seattle, there's really no difference there.
You know, they're right there. Like, it's just, you know, they do weed. They're, you know, they drive the same kind of cars as us. Like, they look like us. Like, they're just right there. And yet, they're calling kickball, soccer, baseball, and crayons. No, what do they call? What do they call?
Crayons.
Colored pencils. They call pencil crayons. It's just crazy. It's insane. Okay, thank you for that, Doug, the Canadian. Ed.
Yeah.
Sports wise, we had another. It's just been Hurricane City here.
Yeah.
And we had a tough time with Harvey. People still digging out of that, and Irma also left a path of destruction throughout Florida, which I'm sure we all can agree was a terrible thing. And we hope everyone in Florida is okay after that, right?
For sure. I think many people are just starting to get their power back, I think.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But former fake wrestling champ in Clearwater, Florida, resident Hulk Hogan fired off a pair of tweets about Hurricane Irma Thursday. No water, no power, crybabies. Everyone's complaining. These people have no clue how bad it could be. Praying for those that got hit hard, lost homes, lives, businesses, lost everything. Now, people responded, 60,000 homes without power here. Haven't seen a crybaby yet. Yet people helping their neighbors. What are you doing to help? One user replied. Another one, newsflash, you need water to live. Another comment read. Even his followers weren't too jazzed about the former proprietor of Pasta Mania restaurant. I think I know what you meant, but poor choice of words, brother, one said. Now, Brian, in times of despair, isn't it incumbent upon a guy who made his bones pretending to fight in school bus yellow banana hammock and a bleached Fu Manchu to lecture the world on how to act like a real man?
Maybe it wasn't the issue wasn't that they were victims of a hurricane. Maybe he was just concerned that they weren't saying their prayers and eating their vitamins, Ed. Because he often preached.
He loved those vitamins.
That, and it's pretty fucked up that he should be calling the residents of Florida crybabies, because I'm pretty sure the flag of Florida is just a picture of Hulk Hogan. Like, he's the leader of Florida. Like,
yeah, the figure bleached, he would respect. Bleach, yes. Fu Manchu. Just that.
Crazy. Reminds
me of the time I got shipwrecked on the show Thunder in Paradise, brother.
You would think that instead of tweeting, he would be punching himself in his own balls for turning down that George Foreman grill endorsement before.
But nobody would buy that. Nobody would buy the Hulk Hogan grill. They just wouldn't.
What do you mean?
You'd buy the George Foreman because, like, he had branded himself as the lovable. You wouldn't have bought it in the 70s because he was a scary motherfucker. But
right. He
was lovable by the time that happened. Hulk Hogan, people like, I'm not fucking buying, like, wrestling tights guy thing. Because
he's a preacher. You're like, oh, I'll buy George Foreman's grill, his two-sided electric frying pan. Because he's a preacher and he's got a lot of kids and they're all called George and I believe him. Whereas if it's Hulk Hogan, it's like, well, you know, he's got a fake tan.
Right. This is going to be a fake product.
Fake muscles.
Like, nothing authentic.
he claims, like, they introduce him to the ring, and he claims to be 6'7", 300 pounds, but really he's more like 6'3", 250. Like, it's, I'm not buying, you know, this machine's probably a piece of shit. Like, I'm not buying that.
Yeah, he was so authentic, like, when he pretended he was dead and then would shake his hand, shake his arms real crazy. Yeah.
I mean, he would get people
pumped up. Turn the tables, brother!
People would get pretty excited. I do like that he rocks that that headband, the do-rag, and then he would, like, rock it in the ring, and it's clearly to cover up his baldness.
Yeah. Terry, but you've been bald for 30 years.
I know. But then you got to – when you go to wrestle, you got to take it off anyway. Yeah. So what's the point? Like, you're not – no one's confused that you still have hair under there.
It's like those dudes you see. I mean, you don't do too much public transportation, but you see guys in, like, suits wearing, like, a baseball cap. And it's like, buddy, this charade is going to be over when you get to the office. Like, what are you doing?
Take it off.
Yeah. You're bald. It's okay. Like, Bruce Willis pulled this look off like a quarter century ago. You're fine. It's true. Nobody cares.
It's true.
I only care when somebody's hiding.
Speaking of that, you see, I went and saw It this weekend, written by massive hit It, written by former guest of the show, Gary Dauberman. And
let me just say, I saw two, and the only way I can see a movie like that, I went at 10 in the morning because I have to I have to walk through a park to get to the movie theater on the way home. I was like, I'm not seeing that fucking thing after dark.
I'm not a horror movie guy, but I went and saw it, and I very much enjoyed it. But I did also like that Bruce Willis has, with the success of the Taken movies and the John Wicks, now Bruce Willis has a revenge movie where he just fucking kills everybody, and I cannot wait to see it.
It's not just any movie. He's remaking Bronson. It's Death Wish.
Oh, yeah. Oh, is it?
Yes.
It's Death Wish?
I'm almost positive it's Death Wish.
That makes a lot of sense because his wife dies and he drops the car on somebody. Yes. I'm pretty sure Bronson did that.
It's Death Wish. Right. And then I liked the Death Wish movies. Like, when I was a kid, you watch that with your buddies or whatever. And then, like, by, like, Death Wish 4, he was just like a serial murderer. Like, there was no revenge. He got
pretty scary.
He was just killing people.
Yeah, he's just killing people. He was just killing the fuck out of people.
We're just cheering for the murderer now.
Death Wish was one of those movies that would be on Channel 13 at 1 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. And you'd, like, come in from playing outside and you'd throw on the TV and there would just be people getting fucking stabbed and shot in the fucking face.
As you're swallowing lunch, you're just watching somebody get murked.
Yeah. You're like, wait, I'm 9. Like, should I be watching this? I guess so.
And by the way,
like, the Warriors would be on.
Can you imagine if they tried to sell Bronson as an action star these days?
I know. Yeah.
I mean, this guy is in the same genre as The Rock.
Yeah, like, he's like a little ethnic-looking dude.
Yeah, he looks like Dr. Nick Rivera from The Simpsons. We were just talking about him with the wispy mustache.
Totally.
All right, let's go to the next one. We're going to go to the NFL. Minnesota Vikings just hired a recent high school graduate, Jonas Stillman, to be their Gen Z advisor. In a recent interview with the Star Tribune, Stillman opened up about his role. In order to connect with Gen Z, you must first recognize that we are our own unique generation. Many leaders and organizations tend to blend us in with millennials, which is a huge mistake.
Oh, no.
While Gen Z is the most tech-savvy generation to date, leaders must understand that we are socializing in new ways. My company, Gen Z Guru, which I co-founded with my dad, who is a generational expert, did 3 national studies and 1 global study, all focused on Gen Z's attitude toward the workplace and marketplace. And Brian, 2 questions. How do you think Ragnar's taking this news? And two, is there a sadder collection of words than my dad's... Gen Z Guru, which I co-founded with my dad, who is a generational expert.
It is, like, the whole thing is so pathetic.
Douche chills.
But you got to give the kid and the dad credit because the kid's pretty smart. He's taken a thing that may or may not exist
and
declared Yeah, and declared himself an expert in said thing, and then convinced someone to pay him for his expertise in said thing, which may or may not even exist. Like, good job, Jonah. It's like motivational speakers. Like, no one has ever succeeded in anything. They're not. Their only success is in getting you to pay them to talk to you. Like, you can't really be mad at those guys because they've made a thing that wasn't there before. And the same for this kid Jonah. Like, also, kids aren't into football.
No,
right? Like,
I was just noticing, like, every kid plays soccer. And like, yeah. it's become boxing, right? It's like,
totally.
I think when people say football will not exist is false because we still like gladiator fights. Like, that's just the modern version, but it's going to be just a poor sport. Like, just like down and out communities. That's where our football players are coming
from. And it's kind of like all the football players pretty much come from the same hotbeds, Florida, Texas, Ohio, like the,
but not England. not just Florida. Yeah. They come from like where they shot Moonlight, like where Liberty City
and it's just going to be like more concentrated there. I heard today that, like the local high schools, the kids that come out for football has gone down 50% in the last couple of years.
And
like, there's most schools aren't going to be able to.
Playing this sport, like, yeah, I had some concussions. That was the most fun I had playing a sport. I loved it. I mean, it was great, but yeah, I suffered a concussion and then like was in practice hitting the next day. Like, those were some bad days.
It's just funny that anytime anyone tries really hard to reach out to kids, they always screw it up. Like, it just has to sort of happen organically. Like, they're going to either come to the sport because they like the sport. It's not that you translate the sport to their stupid fucking language and their YouTube attention spans. Like, they're just either going to come to it because they like it or they're not. And it doesn't matter how you pitch it to them. It is what it is. And they're only going to like it because they like it, not because you sell it to them a certain way.
And poor Ragnar. Guy's checking his voicemail. He's checking his voicemail every 10 minutes, hoping the team reconsidered that offer. Was it like, what? They were already giving him like 50 yard line seats and all this stuff. And he's like, nah, I need 10,000 a game.
Yeah, no, they were giving him, I think they were paying him like $1,500 a game or something.
But wasn't he asking for like 10?
Yeah, yes, and he wanted like 15,000.
Yeah.
He's like, no, you don't get it.
Now he doesn't have tickets.
Yes, now he's, and you know he still loves the Vikings, so he sits at home in his sad Barca lounger and watches the game that he could have been making $1,200 to be at.
Do you think he wears the big fur costume and the horns?
Of course he does. Or even worse, he's worked out a deal with some sports bar somewhere where he goes over there every Sunday for free chicken wings and shakes hands with people and like walks around everybody's table. Hey, remember me? Ragnar. Yeah. I had that Harley Davidson I rode out there on the field. Yeah. Pretty sweet, right?
I pumped the team up. Yeah. They really cared about me.
Yeah, everybody loves me. Okay, what else, Ed?
Well, let's go from professional sports to the world of personal exercise and fitness. Let's go to jogging.
Oh, yeah.
A Colorado Springs woman has been taking big shits in front of someone's house for a few weeks now. They're calling her the mad pooper, and she won't stop. The cops are involved. It appears to be some sort of revenge pooping. The Buddy family is apoplectic about the situation. On the first day, the Buddy children came running to the mom crying and yelling, "There's a lady taking a poop." So I come outside and I'm like, "Are you serious?" Buddy recalled. "Are you really taking a poop right here in front of my kids?" She's like, "Yeah, sorry. But it wasn't the last time." The woman continues to come back and do the same thing each day, and they've notified police and she's taken some grainy pictures of her. Now, Brian, we know this woman is a monster. But do you think the Buddy family did something to trigger this?
Well, it's one of those things. Hold on, I'm making a note here in my phone for later for when I edit the show. When we Patreon, the Patreon family of the show will recall that we did a whole Patreon bonus episode about a very disturbing voicemail I was left by an ex-girlfriend many years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Now, if lucky for me, she identified herself in that voicemail. But even so, say I had not, and those of you that aren't familiar with the story, you need to join patreon.com/theballerlifestyle and make a donation so that you can go listen to this. But this person, had she not identified herself, and had I not run into her earlier in the day for the first time in a decade, and she left that message, and even maybe she had disguised her voice a bit,
mm-hmm.
You better believe I would have known who it was and what she wanted.
Now, you think Mr. Buddy.
If somebody is taking a conscious shit on your fucking lawn, they're doing it for a reason. It's not an accident that somebody runs past your house and drops a fucking deuce on your welcome mat. They hate you, and you know why. 100%.
And there's only a few things that could get somebody that angry.
Yeah, that's, you know, right.
It's got to be a broken heart.
Yeah, a deep dickin' gone wrong. I am sort of impressed. I have a buddy, and he's been on this show before. I'm not going to say who it is, but this guy is really proud of the number of times he expresses his bowels in a day. And it's too many times. It's way too often. He just claims
the amount
to eat
of times.
Yes, exactly. The number of times you should express your bowels in a day is one, maybe right. two.
Yeah, you maybe know, some, two if you've been eating a questionable or big night drinking.
Right. Maybe there's a second one happening for whatever reason. You had to stop in the middle of the first. Who knows? But when you're going multiple sessions, like, you have an issue. And this woman, she's going on this guy's lawn. She's going all over town. She's able to time it that she can go at a certain time. Like, what's going on with this person that she has such control that she's able to weaponize her excrement, aka webscrement?
Oh.
And maybe we need to study her and, you know, kind of like the $6 million man, the army needs to get hold of her and study her powers for good. Maybe we can use this in one of our upcoming wars.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah. I could see that because also it, as much as you want revenge, that's not a comfortable or a full shit.
No.
You know, if you've ever had a Code Brown, it's not like, this is a nice relaxing way to remove the excrement from my body. Like, she's squatting over a fucking, you know, front porch.
Yeah. I don't know if I told the story on this show. I think I may have. Not long ago, I was out on a run, much like this woman, except I didn't intend to have this issue, but I had something happened. I had something a little too spicy the day before. And on my run, Ed, I broke into a cold sweat.
Well, that's the thing. When you're running, too, there's no...
gets things moving.
Yeah, and there's a lot of gravity. It's like a pounding. That's a tough Code Brown when you're running.
And and you're exactly right. I was probably about a mile from home when this happened. Like, I was on my way back. I'd done my loop. I was headed home. But it's just like you're saying. Like, if you continue to run, the pounding causes you to have to express yourself quickly. And so I'm like, oh, maybe I can just walk. And then I was walking. I was like, oh, no.
No, I better run.
Oh, no. And I was like, I can't do this in the open. Luckily, the area I was in, I was on like just a regular block where there's like houses on my right. On the left, there was a neighborhood, but it was like the back of a neighborhood. So it was like a wall, and then there was all sort of trees, so you couldn't get a look in people's backyards. And I was able to run under cover of bushes, drop the pants, and really let it go. But and so no one could see me. I mean, if you really looked, you know, I was pretty camoed. If you really looked, you might have been able to get me if you got me from the right angle. But imagine the kind of monster, much like Jim Carrey and Me, Myself, and Irene, that just hops up there with the LA Times and just squats right down.
That was a great scene.
Squats right down on somebody's grass and just is able to like wave, "How you doing, Bob?" And just able to just really let it go with no sort of nervousness at all. That's a true monster.
Probably the last time I shit in public like that, in public, was on the bus to Preakness.
Oh, really?
Oh, no, that wasn't the last time. No,
didn't
I also
you have
had
an
one.
Issue in the meatpacking district
at one
point?
Yeah, that was a different, yeah. So when I was in college, bus to Preakness and,
drinking.
It's drinking, but also like when you're in a traffic jam close to, close to Preakness, it's like The Wire. Like it's just row houses and alleys.
Sketch.
And I fucking took a dump in an alley next to Weebay and next to like Dookie, not next to Weebay.
Yeah, Chris and Snoop were like had the nail gun out and they were like putting the plywood back on the door.
Yeah, luckily this happened a few years before I had seen The Wire.
No, that would have been terrifying.
I would have shit my pants before I go outside.
Totally. Those places. 100% understand that.
My name is Brian. They call me the other guy. I host a podcast show. I'll give hetero life a try. If you see something on my hand that makes you think I'm not a man, it's just my cool rings, you see. They're as sparkly as can be. I might own Troy on DVD.
Ed.
Yeah.
We all deserve a little alone time.
Yeah, sure.
Maybe you like to meditate or read. Maybe you like to play chess online. Whatever calms you down. But as we get busier and share our lives with others, those times become more and more difficult to enjoy.
Yep.
Take, for instance, Florida resident Flavia Higgs, who was spending a nice, leisurely afternoon masturbating in the comfort of her own home, when her nosy-ass estranged husband, Gerald, busted down the bedroom door and rudely interrupted her pleasure sesh, leaving her no choice but to respond with physical violence. Higgs, 43-year-old husband Garrett, jerk, who had been living in a separate bedroom from his estranged wife for more than a year.
That doesn't sound like a good
situation. That's so Florida. Like we need to get divorced, but we can't really afford it. Like, just sleep on the couch, Gerald, all right? And then they just stay living together for 20 more years. Told a responding officer that he returned home and heard, quote, moaning from the house before walking toward the room and knocking on the door. I don't know about you, Ed. I hear moaning. I walk the other fucking direction. I don't go towards the moaning. It's counterintuitive.
Yes, but if it's your wife.
Yes, ex-wife. Quote, he banged and she would not answer the door, said the police report. He said he thought there was another man in the house, and he used a screwdriver to open the door. Once he barged in, I feel like I've never had such a delightful session of such a next level session of jerking it that if somebody started pounding on the door, I wouldn't go, whoa, what the fuck is that? Like, I would just be like, nah, who cares? I'm just going to keep going. Once he barged in, his humiliated, there's some editorializing right there, but how do we know she was humiliated? His humiliated wife tried to stop her husband and, quote, physically escort him out of the room as he tried to push past her and pushed her arm against a wall. She then struck Higgs in the face. Quote, he wasn't sure if it was an open or closed-handed. When this happened, they both started screaming and she called 911.
What's she calling for?
Flavia Higgs later confirmed to the officer that she had been, quote, pleasuring herself inside the room when her estranged husband came home. She was arrested since she was the first person to initiate physical contact, both with herself and with her husband.
Oh, yeah.
Ed, could this have been avoided with the universally recognized sock on the door handle technique?
This sounds like a game of marital chicken.
Totally.
Because it seems like they were just trying to find someone at fault so they can split and somebody gets the house or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So she's trying to loudly masturbate to make him think that she's there with a guy or something.
Pretty smart.
And he's thinking, well, if I catch her in the act, then she hit him, she lost the game of chicken.
Right. She's got to pay me. Now,
right? Yeah. I think this was a battle over the house. That's what was going on.
Interesting.
And he won.
And now, but I mean, I'm not sure if you misspoke or you're just euphemizing because you said house. And I don't know if you noticed, but I said this was in Florida. So it's either one bedroom apartment or a trailer, Ed.
I was imagining the Golden Girls place, but no, this is probably a trailer.
This is some kind of movable domicile.
Well, he wants to take it on the road. She wants to keep it on cinder blocks, maybe.
Did you see, we've talked about the Golden Girls on this show before.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know, that on the first episode of the Golden Girls, they had a sassy, gay, like, houseboy?
No.
And after the pilot, they're like, you know what? We can just give all his sassy lines to Estelle Getty. Like, she was just supposed to be a guest star, but she resonated after the first episode.
She's the old one, right?
Wasn't the old one. And they're like, you know what? Like, let's just keep her around, make her a regular, and get rid of the sassy gay guy, and she can say all the sassy gay guy stuff. And so then the guy got fired.
Wow. They were probably trying to piggyback because that was of the era of Monroe on Too Close for Comfort. Right. They probably wanted Monroe Ficus.
Oh, Jim J. Classic. R.I.P. Ted Knight, one of the all-time greats.
Oh, he was great. Amazing. I can't say the same for Jim J., who's a little bit over the top.
Is Jim J. still kicking? Because I'm not...
Yeah, remember he like announced he had HIV,
got the bug. And then he's got the bug.
He's got the bug, and I would think we'd know that.
He's Jim J. He announced he had the bug in like early on, like 89, maybe.
Yeah, like it's, Hollywood Squares time.
Yeah, like he's just hanging in there. Good for old Jim J. Haven't seen him.
Guy
do
loved
much
wearing though, rugbies. Though. He wore a lot of rugbies.
He really did. He absolutely did. Ed, remember recently we talked about the Uber of umbrellas?
Mm-hmm.
That was
not a big hit.
No, it was forced to shut down a week after launching because no one returned any of the product. It's like Citibike, like they have your credit card info. Like you give them your credit card. If you don't come back with the Citibike or lock it up at another Citibike place, I'm sure they're going to charge you. Yeah, they're charging you like $1,500 or something. Like they make it so that it's like back in the day, you'd go rent Bad Boys at Blockbuster. If you lost Bad Boys, they would charge you
like $99,
like $200 for that fucking 30-cent videotape. So it was in your best interest to return that videotape. And that's why the Uber of umbrellas didn't work, because they only made you give them a few bucks and basically the cost of an umbrella. So people were just like, fuck it, I'm keeping this thing. Well, Ed, another Chinese startup was forced to close its door this week after only 4 days.
Ooh.
But not for lack of interest. And I know what you're thinking, like, oh, another bike sharing company.
Right.
Or it's like Airbnb. Like they couldn't, you know, they just couldn't.
China,
work out.
A lot of people, a lot of demand, a lot of stuff.
Yeah. It's maybe it's a, somebody comes over and cleans your house. You just type in, you got an app, need your house clean. They come over. Well, actually, Ed, this was a different product. This was shareable fuck dolls. A sex doll sharing service called Touch has been banned just 4 days after it launched in Beijing.
Mm-hmm.
We are sorry to announce that Touch will suspend the operation of its girlfriend sharing service. They said in a statement. Touch launched the service last Thursday, revealing five life-size silicone dolls that users could rent for 298 yuan or $45 a day. The dolls typically cost over 10,000 yuan, $1,500 each. Touch touted the sex dolls as objects that could be used for, quote, short-term companionship. Which I would have thought goldfish, but what do I know? The sex doll sharing service was hoping to expand across China after a trial in Beijing, but things didn't go to plan. People reportedly complained to Chinese authorities that the company was a bad influence on society. Ed, do we really want to live in a world where the government gets to tell us we can or cannot go sloppy 2,463rds on Veronica, the lifelike silicon girlfriend with three fully functional inputs that Jerry, the shut-in from 4C, definitely did not just finish rubbing his asshole all over?
I remember being a kid, like there was a friend who had a pool in his backyard, and like a couple times the mom being like, you can just borrow his bathing suit. It's like, I'm not so cool with that. These guys are essentially putting their dicks in bowling shoes. Like you do not want to be using like that kind of you know, they're using bowling shoes to fuck. And you know, this story I was thinking about, like, well, who would want to touch their skin on something? And then I realized you go sockless on airplanes and at airports.
That's true.
So maybe you this would be okay with you.
But I'm not barefoot. I have flip-flops on or Birkenstocks.
And then when you have to take off your shoes.
That is true.
Don't you take off your shoes in the plane too?
Oh. Well, I mean, I might kick them off, but that's true.
Essentially a Chinese sex toy fucker.
I definitely have thoughts about that when they make you remove your shoes, which is fucking bullshit, by the way. Let's all like agree that that's fucking pretend safety. The shoe removal.
That fucking was it Richard Reed.
Richard Reed. Worst. Asshole.
He's having a bad time in Leavenworth as we speak.
There was also a fucking underwear bomber. Remember him? The guy lit his dick on fire. Dudes, do we have to show our dicks every time?
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's insane. Ed. This one comes from Germany. A lot of people reaching out this week. There are certain stories that really resonate with the audience, and they get on Twitter and they reach out to me at Brian Beckner and you at Easy Ed Daily. And they're like, I assume you're going to talk about this week. Well, this is one of those stories where lots of people reached out from Germany.
Oh.
Where their motto is, we make great cars, weird porno, and please don't mention that whole Holocaust thing. They made the news this week, Ed, when a dude in the city of Worms, you can't make this up, had to be rescued by the fire brigade after getting his gockle caught in a 5-pound free weight. I don't know about you, Ed. I go to the gym. I just work out my visible muscles. At first glance, I thought, why would you want to fuck a cold, hard, iron, soulless hole? But then I remembered that Jimmy Walker had sex with Ann Coulter. And then it occurred to me that Dieter, Ed, he wasn't fucking the 2.5-kilo plate, but was more likely trying to stretch his schwanz to max out a couple of bonus centimeters. So my question to you is this. Why would one want to gain a little length at the expense of the real MVP, girth?
Good point. It seems like he's girthy enough. We can't fit in the in the free weight.
When I first saw this story, I'm like, those 45-pound plates, it's a pretty big hole. Like, you could fit a soup can through there. This guy must have been really packing. But one of those 5-pounders that you like screw on, like on in the 80s when you'd screw on the handles to make your own different weight dumbbells. It was like one of those.
Right, right. That was the weight set I got.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a 6 set.
I was thinking if he's excited, there's two things. One, he might be that guy who's like really excited to spot people. You know, gets like real close, like uncomfortable at the gym. Yeah. He wants to spot and he just
drips his fucking gross sweat all over you.
Yeah, and he just got a little too excited and needed to do something with it. But then I thought of the great movie Pumping Iron.
Oh yeah.
That great scene where Schwarzenegger, I know he's not German, but he's of that general area.
Austria, same difference.
Yeah. And he talks about the pump. And he says, you know, the pump is like, feels like coming. He's like, I'm coming in the gym. I'm coming backstage. I'm coming all the time.
Yeah.
It's a great scene. So maybe that's what's going on over there.
What a fucking legend. What a legend Arnold was. Like,
oh yeah.
Which this guy would have been the most fucking successful in any fucking thing he chose to do. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, he was. I mean,
yeah,
that's some fucking career.
Yes, the guy's fucking amazing.
Guy was famous for being strong,
legend,
for being big, and he turned into A-list Hollywood and the governor of like the biggest economy state in the United States.
Unbelievable, the guy's a stud. Okay, one more, Ed.
Yeah,
this is from your neck of the woods, the Lincoln Tunnel.
It touches Hoboken.
Yeah. Everyone knows traffic is one of the most stressful experiences people in modern societies regularly endure. So road incidents are pretty common, but you never know what kind of monsters you might be dealing with out there on the roads. A motorist got a beating Tuesday morning in the Lincoln Tunnel after he spray painted a penis on the side of a box truck during a confrontation with its driver. The craziness began on the New Jersey side of the tunnel at about 9:30 a.m. when the two drivers nearly crashed into each other. They started arguing and kept it up as the two vehicles rolled through the tunnel. Once they reached a red light on the New York side of the tunnel, the motorist in the car jumped out and drew his phallic portrait on the truck.
It's a dramatic move.
It really is. The box driver jumped out swinging. The identities of the two men were not immediately available, although one was arrested. Ed, shouldn't the dick draw be considered checkmate in any road rage incident?
Oh, I agree. Like, it's one thing. Yeah. I find like just aimless tagging to be bullshit. When people put their shitty initials, it looks terrible. But a dong? And plus, is that might be the only truck, the only box truck in the tri-state area that doesn't have a dong spray painted on it.
Right. Like those, it needed one.
Those trucks, that's all they're there for. They all have dongs on them.
Yeah, and you may as well, like when you buy one for your furniture delivery service or whatever, you may as well just draw some tasteful dicks on there so someone else doesn't do it badly. Yeah.
Yeah. When I went to a party at my publisher's years ago, and one of the authors
that guy that went out of business and fucked you out of some money, that guy?
Yeah, he did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did. You Mark Batty.
Yeah.
One of the books was New York Dick, and the guy was a photographer, and he did pictures of dicks drawn on all kinds of posters and stuff in New York City. It was a great book. It was a great book.
That's a great idea. I'd throw that on
movie posters, on a bus.
Yeah.
Guy was just a good photographer, good art director.
I didn't grow up as a dick drawer, Ed. It never occurred to me that I should be drawing dicks on things. But now in my old age, I see a dick drawn on something and It makes me smile.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It's simple. It's fun.
Yeah, it's funny.
Who doesn't enjoy it?
Yeah. It's a dick. Everybody's got like sort of their own way of doing it, you know? So put a few hairs on the balls. You do make that little line for the pee hole. Sometimes they'll have like the line will actually like cross over the line of the glands of the dick. So it'll like be sticking out a little bit. Sometimes they'll do the head, a real mushroomy wide head.
Right. Love it. Veins get a little bit too much.
Yeah, you don't want to go too much detail
it's
on there.
It's supposed to be cartoony.
Right. You don't need all the veins on there. You don't need it to be anatomically correct.
Although
you rarely see any foreskin. I assume that's because they're supposed to be hard. The drawn dicks.
Yes. That's the idea. You don't see somebody drawing a flaccid dick.
No.
They're always going to be turgid.
No one wants to see that. They should be like 80%. A drawn dick should be like an exposed regular dick where you don't want it fully hard because that's kind of embarrassing.
Right.
But
chubbed up.
Yeah. You don't want it fully flaccid because that's super embarrassing. You want it just kind of in between, in the middle.
That's fair.
Yeah. All right, Ed. It is time.
Let's bring it.
We got to talk about the real news. We got to get our very own pop culture correspondent on the scene. She's only a few feet away. I've sent her several texts. She was over here just making tons of noise a few minutes ago in the background.
Full collision.
Things were crashing. Wouldn't
I knock something over?
It wouldn't be the show without Kate making a bunch of noise in the background. Ah, sipping a bit of kombucha. Of course, we're talking about our very own pop culture correspondent, the great Fancy Sauce. How are you, Fancy?
Hey guys, do you guys drink kombucha?
I mean, I drink some of yours sometimes.
And never.
Are you a kombucha drinker?
I should try it.
It's good for the gut, supposedly.
It's like my favorite beverage.
So good for the gut.
I drink a lot of it.
Kate, what is going on in the world? Oh, question for you.
So,
do you prefer length or girth?
I feel like you've asked me this before.
Have I? In public?
It's come up on this
given
podcast.
The choice, some guy in Germany, and you're a woman.
Can I get in my computer?
Oh, no. You're a woman. Some guy in Germany got his cock stuck in a weight.
What?
Like a plate at the gym. And he had to have it cut off. And the assumption is that he was trying to stretch his dick to give it a little more.
You can't stretch your dick.
Well, I don't know. But assuming
you can't, that's not a thing.
I don't know. Assuming he was trying to stretch his dick, he would be sacrificing some of the girth because you only have so much volume there to work with, right? Why would you want it?
Well, you don't want a short, fat one. What good's that going to do?
Short and thick does the trick.
I don't think so.
Oh, really?
Well, it's got to reach your G-spot. So it has to be a certain length.
Oh, working blue. So you're saying.
That's just a fact.
You're saying you would take length over girth.
Yeah.
Wow. I heard the opposite.
Breaking news.
I was always proud of just banging the sides.
People have different vaginas, Ed. People are stimulated different ways. Interesting, right. Kate. Thanks for the update.
So controversial.
Getting deep on the dick talk.
Yeah, it's disheartening.
Okay, Kate, what is going on in the world of pop culture? What is happening in the world of fancy pop?
You and I went and checked out.
Oh, we discussed this briefly, yes.
Mm-hmm. Stephen King's It remake written by our dear friend of the Baller Lifestyle
former guest of the show,
Gary Dauberman.
Yes.
If you guys haven't seen it, and you've got kids or you're into Stephen King, go check it out.
I would definitely take your kids. I would absolutely take children to that.
I was into it. I was into scary movies when I was 11, 12.
I don't think I could bring my kids for 8 years.
No, of course not. The theater was full of brats when I was there.
I was really into scary movies when I was 10, 11.
I'm not into scary movies now.
But you didn't think that was scary. You were laughing.
No, it did have some scares in it though.
They're like fright scares, though. Yeah. Not like I'm terrified of what's happening.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It had a good kind of like Stand By Me, Goonies kind of vibe.
Totally.
With some horror stuff.
Kids against the bad guy.
Yeah, we watched the Emmys Sunday night. We're not going to talk about it because we talked about Emmy stuff last week.
Oh, well.
But I just want to say.
Handmaid's Tale really cleaned up.
Well, because it's the fucking best show.
It's a good show.
I just want to say, as far as the Emmys go, that ABC trotting out Sean Spicer.
It was CBS.
Whatever. Yeah. CBS. Trotting out Sean Spicer to do a comedy bit and normalizing dickhead, I found offensive. And what is wrong with liberals? Like, you're so outraged that he has stood up and lied in front of the country and been a real asshole.
Yeah.
And then you want to, like, normalize him by putting him on an award show, a Hollywood award show.
Also, so unfunny.
So lame.
It wasn't
so
funny.
Not funny.
Ed, I know you don't know what we're talking about, but on the
I know who Sean Spicer is. I saw the clip of I saw a picture of him on there. But I saw him on Kimmel, like, a couple days before.
Ugh.
And he was kind of doubling down. He was just saying nonsense.
Oh, really?
Like he was saying,
holding the company
it's not
line.
Like he, like something about telling the truth. And then he goes, it's my job to reflect what the president has to say. But like, you know, he just wouldn't, he wouldn't acknowledge being a liar.
Right.
It was weird. It was a weird interview, but I took away that he can go fucking
company man. He was so loyal that he was loyal until it suited him more to quit and go out and try to sell books and speaking engagements. Fuck him. And
yeah, the whole thing was so fucking lame.
Yeah. I was pretty disappointed in that myself. I thought it was very unfunny. Okay. What else is going on, Kate?
All right. We'll get into the news. I think one of the top stories of the week in Hollywood is that comedian Kevin Hart.
Speaking of girth, he's hopefully got some girth because I can't imagine he's got much length. He's like 5'1".
He is
a little man.
Yeah.
It appears that he is being, he's the victim of an extortionist,
yes.
A woman that claims to have had sexual relations with him recently in Vegas. She put together a highly produced video, which begins with a photo of him and a woman, then a scene with a bed where two people are having sex. You can't see who they are.
Oh,
though.
She got out like the iMovie?
Followed by a naked man putting his clothes on in the same room who definitely looks like Hart.
Oh,
so
we get a shot of what he's working
she
with?
She has... Oh, I haven't seen the video. I kind of looked around a little bit. I didn't see it.
Ed, have you researched this?
I don't think the video is...
I didn't know there was a video.
Online. Yeah. Well, there is a video, and she is claiming that her end game is money, but it's also to expose him for being a cheater and disrespecting his wife.
Guess what? He's famous, and he has access to pussy.
Right, he
likes to fuck.
So the FBI is involved. There, I think they have a suspect.
This is his second wife, who he hooked up with while he was still with the first wife,
right, Aniko. So he has put out a public kind of apology video to her and his kids.
Interesting.
So we'll see what happens.
Interesting.
So this person tried to get money out of him and was unsuccessful.
Yeah, interesting. I don't know. I guess he has a persona.
Like a lot of money, like $8 million or something.
Like if you're going to apologize to, you kind of got to do it. I guess he did sort of chose the David Letterman tact where he's like, you know, say it first, tell the truth and tell it all.
Right.
And that, which is smart to do, but I don't know that like why he really needs to respond to the public. Like it's kind of between him and his wife and he could be like, right. Look, honey, I was horny. I was in Atlanta.
Well, part of this video, there's some text that scrolls up the screen, and a lot of it says, well, it's a compilation of clips of Kevin Hart talking on radio interviews about how he won't cheat again. And his current wife is his rib. That's
rib.
The Bible.
Oh, because they take one rib out.
And just kind of going on and on and on about how he had made mistakes in his past marriage and wasn't going to repeat it, and just the irony of that. And
Is this the second marriage that is a problem?
Yeah, this is the second marriage.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And she's very heavily pregnant with this child.
Yeah.
So,
question.
So, the video claimed that he, this whole Hurricane Harvey benefit was to kind of get ahead of this story and make himself kind of like look a little positive in the media.
Oh, that's fucked up.
I don't think that's true.
That's why he was coming back in response
he's
to
like,
that.
Fuck
too.
That.
Right.
Question. I'm not super familiar with the Bible, but this whole rib thing, and I'm also not familiar with anatomy, except for the
parts I've studied firsthand, which I know intimately. Mm. I know those sections very, very well. I could draw my own anatomy books there. But my question is this. Do men and women, I mean, we're both human beings. We have the same amount of ribs, right? Like I got 12 ribs. You got 12 ribs?
I believe so.
So in the Adam, he had 13 ribs?
And maybe God, at first.
God was like, hold up. Let me have one of those ribs.
Wait a minute.
God made Adam out of nothing. Why did he need a rib to make Adam a wife?
I know she's, a really inappropriate joke about that.
Oh, you do?
Yes. I think it's from Jackie Martling from the old Stern days.
Oh, his jokes are the best.
They're really hacky, but somehow.
Yeah.
How do you know Adam was white?
How? How do you know?
How?
Ever try to take a rib from a black man?
So racist. That's awful. So, but we have the same number of ribs, so we're supposed to believe that Adam had, like, God, who makes everything perfect, made Adam with one too many ribs? Somebody, I need a Jesus correspondent to a Bible correspondent to explain this to me. Thank you very much. Okay, Kate, next
it's
story.
It's weird because I thought the Bible was pretty much flawless. I find it hard to believe that you can shoot holes through it.
Yes, it's very...
That's not the Bible I know.
It's very confusing. Okay, what is going on? What else is going on?
Mario Lopez is breaking his silence on an incident that went down in Vegas last week.
It's another guy that's 5'1".
What is Slater up to last week?
Ed, he's got his career is going off. He hosts one of those. He hosts Extra.
I think he makes a lot of money.
So I didn't basically, know he had worked since Slater.
AC Slater's. He's
it
got
was
shit
reported that AC Slater was assaulted in Vegas. He would like you to know that it was just his phone that was assaulted. So he was coming out of the bathroom at the gym, bumped into a dude, sort of, and he said, "Excuse me," and tried to like keep walking, and the dude just went berserk.
Oh, so he acted like a normal human being.
Right. Yeah. And went crazy and got in his face and was getting hostile. And one of the employees stepped between the two of them and he dropped his phone and then was like, "Look, just let me get my phone and get out of here." And then the dude picked up his phone and threw it against the wall and smashed it. And then went nuts and started shoving all the employees around.
Maybe it was an Android.
I don't think so.
Oh, interesting.
Anyway, three people filed charges. He didn't file charges.
He's remember, like,
just wanted
Slater,
to get a new phone and get out of there.
Yeah,
Slater always wanted to wrestle on that show.
But what is wrong with people?
He fancied himself as, you know, a guy who could handle himself. So I could see people challenging
that weirdo guy.
But he also
probably
danced.
Didn't even recognize
loved
him.
Dancing.
Yeah.
What's wrong with people?
He's
why well, do guys want to start shit all the time?
Maybe he's like, holy fuck. This guy was state champion at Bayside High back in 94. Like, I'm going to test him. I'm going to see
like
if he's
so... some, like, what was that show? Let's Ring the Bell.
Yeah. Oh, did you not have that in your country?
No, what was it called?
Saved by the Bell.
Saved by the Bell. Yeah. Is that some weird
it's
Saved all by
right,
the Bell
because I'm Saved
reference?
By the Bell.
Yeah.
All right, moving on.
A lot of talking to the camera back then.
Yeah. This Colin Jost from Saturday Night is in a relation with Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, this one hurts.
Yeah. He's been and at the Emmy parties over the weekend was like gushing about her and how great she is.
Speaking of gushing, you are sexually attracted to Colin Jost.
I am.
Let's go behind the scenes here.
He is proof that when women say the sense of humor is most important.
Right.
Well, I think
he's proof
cute.
That's false because he's not cute. Funny in any way.
He looks like the leader of the College Republicans.
He's funny. He's a writer on SNL. You might not like the Weekend Update.
No, it's okay.
But
hey,
he's funny.
You don't have to justify it.
He's
like,
not
it's
funny.
Okay if you like him.
He's not funny.
You can have him be your.
He's
you
the
don't,
worst part
Ed,
of the show.
Ed, Weekend Update aside, he's probably written a ton of stuff that you've laughed at on SNL.
They have great performers there.
As the
he is a
head
terrible,
writer.
Terrible comic.
Ed's just not as into Colin Jost as you, and that's okay.
I just think he's cute.
Yeah, interesting. So does Scarlett Johansson,
yeah.
Who's got
ScarJo and I have
some of the one of the hottest bodies in the history of bodies.
Right.
Like, they should call her Scarlet the Body because she's got a fucking pretty nice one.
Yeah.
She's still going with that short hair, Pixie?
All right, and we have to talk about another friend of the podcast, actor Ryan Phillippe.
I mean, not a friend of the podcast. No, Ed, he follows Ed on Twitter.
He's a buddy of Ed's.
Yeah.
A Twitter buddy.
Yeah.
Okay, Beautiful. So his former fiance went to the LAPD last year to file a harassment report against the actor.
Oh, is this that Australian actress?
Is this the lawyer?
Oh, he's banging a lawyer?
No, yeah. I don't know who she was. Her name's Elsie Hewitt. I don't know anything about her. So she claims in the lawsuit that she went to pick up things from his house after they broke up and realized he was extremely drunk. And she says she tried talking to him and he attacked her, grabbed her up her arm so hard it left heavy bruises and violently threw her down the stairs as hard as he could. She claims he continued to assault her and picked her up like a doll, threw her down the stairs again, and then screamed, "Get the fuck out of my house, you crazy cunt." Anyway, so she wants more than $1 million. Yeah. His story is slightly different.
Of course.
He is saying that she showed up under the influence several days after he broke up with her and that she was the one that attacked him and refused to leave. He removed her from the premises and he claims she fell and hurt herself.
I mean, he was at his own home. So I'm inclined to believe the guy that was sitting on his couch watching his beloved Philadelphia Eagles probably.
Was the wasted one.
Yeah.
He may or may not have been, but he's sitting home alone while she comes over. She's the interloper. She's looking to mix it
it's
up.
It's his home.
He was just, hey, stand your ground.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I just checked. He's still following. Or just devil's advocate. So this is a
devil's advocate. I'm not taking a side.
No, of course not.
But
you're saying
she might have showed up to collect some things that she wanted back, as happens, and he might have been drunk and they might have gone into it.
Or he was probably balls deep in a new fling.
So, anyway.
Do you think Ryan Phillippe ever masturbates? Or
another ex-girlfriend of his, who's also very attractive, Paulina Slagter.
Oh,
Slagter? Apparently, she went to the Hollywood division of LAPD on March 26th and filed what's called an annoying or harassing electronics communications harassment report. So if someone's sending you harassing texts, there's an actual
specific report. There'd be a paper trail
report
for that.
Right. So she's got the texts.
Unless.
He's called her a whore and they were very angry, violent texts.
Maybe she has sex for money.
And she's saying about the last girlfriend's lawsuit where there's smoke. So we'll see how this pans out. But Ryan might have a
let's
temper.
Let's get the facts first.
Right.
Yeah, let's.
Right.
Yeah, I don't like these baseless accusations.
Me too.
Well,
I'm Team Phillippe.
The texts are not baseless because you have to show proof of the text. Yeah, so
there would be evidence of that.
So,
but two sides
sending angry texts, while it is not nice or pleasant behavior, I don't think is against the law.
Right, and it's not. I mean, it could be if it's harassment.
Yes. So that's what she's claiming it
interesting.
Is.
Interesting.
So we'll see how this all pans out.
As always, we root for the truth. And in this case, Ryan Phillippe.
Yeah. Guy complimented my Hall & Oates tweet last year.
Exactly. We root for the person who was the
also
victim.
Ed texted me some picture.
Whomever that may be.
Ed texted me some picture of Phillippe working out or something the other day. And he's really peacocking that above.
Does he still have a broken leg or?
Yeah, he did have a broken foot, and he was really peacocking that above the dick muscle that only super fit guys with no body fat have.
Ed, what was your Hall & Oates tweet? I went to Hall & Oates on Friday night.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I'm jealous. Loved it. I don't know. It was something about Man Eater. Yeah. But no, we've interacted a few times.
He's a buddy.
He's my buddy.
Yeah,
he's my buddy.
Good friend of yours.
Yeah, Hall & Oates and Tears for Fears.
Maybe get him on the show. Something to think about. Tell his side of the story.
All right, guys.
Oh, are we done?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's me for
excellent
tonight.
Excellent job all the way
for
around.
Today,
Ed
for this
Daly,
episode.
Fantastic
Thanks
job.
Good job, us.
Kate McManus, great work.
Yeah.
For Thanks. The entire crew, my name is Brian Beckner. Thank you very much for joining us for episode 187 of the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. We will see
it's
you next
me
week.
Making kissing noises.
Goodbye.
Bye, everyone.